Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, December 23rd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 24, the third paragraph that begins with the most certain consequences, and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Terry H., Joanne L., Terry H. for the 12 Steps, Joanne L. will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Penny L. C., Christina L., and Leah F. The share ID for Tuesday, December 22nd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 16,039. That's 16039. This morning's Wednesday, December 23rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 16,049. That's 16049. Our newcomer greeter for today is Audrey M.P., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. This is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, a recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace one day at a time. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Terry H. And Joanne L., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Absolutely. Good morning, everyone. Joanne L. from Rhode Island, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there was but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And last but not least, number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
And thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 24, the third paragraph that begins with the almost certain consequences, and we're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. So, good morning, Penny. LC, would you get us started, please?
Good morning, Kathleen, and thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. The almost certain consequences that follow taking even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. If these thoughts occur, they are hazy and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people. There is a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. Well, interestingly enough, as this paragraph opens, it says almost certain consequences. You know, almost certain. So there's still that doubt, right? In my mind, I can convince myself yet again, even though it is threadbare, even it's overused, it's worn out, it's getting really thin, but I can still convince myself that I can manage this time. There's the definition of insanity. You know, I'm ready to do the same thing over again and expect a different result. And each time, my mental twist would convince me I would manage it this time. I've been handling my food, my life recently, and I can continue to do so. I have the ability to negotiate this one instance and be able to regain my diet. Yes, notice diet, because of course it's been a binge diet cycle for me most of my adult life. Once again, thinking I could choose. But the truth is, just like it explained to me very clearly in the paragraph before this, I have lost the power of choice. It's gone. I need to send up the white flag. It's time to surrender. But boy, oh boy, that obsession of my mind, that mental twist wants to convince me once more I could maybe do it. But the truth of the matter is that's the insanity. And so grateful today to understand that clearly and to be able to be free to know that those consequences would be certain. I'm free to know that that idea is no longer an option for me, so long as I stay in fit spiritual condition, one day at a time. Thank you for letting me share and I'll pass.
And thank you, Penny LC, for getting us started this morning. Penny LC from Washington. Okay, so again, we're on page 24, the third paragraph that begins with the almost certain consequences. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. So who would like to share if you have not shared in the past 2 days?
Wendy,
because
come.
We do. Hold on 1 second, Wendy. We do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day. Okay, so I got Wendy. What was your first initial, Wendy?
It's M. Oh,
from
first
where?
Initial, no, my last initial is M. Yeah, Wendy M.
Okay. From Colorado?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, Wendy, thanks. Okay, who else?
Stephen G.
Stephen G. Where are you from, Stephen?
I'm from Toronto, Canada.
Canada, okay.
Carly?
Carly?
From
first initial?
C.
Okay.
From PA? My last initial is B.
B as in boy?
Yeah, that's my last initial.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Sherry Josie in California.
Sherry Josie in California. I can take one more. Okay, we'll stop there then. So I have Wendy M., Stephen G., Carly B., Jody E., and Sherry Jo C. So go ahead, Wendy M.
Okay, great. Wendy M. in Colorado, recovering compulsive overeater. This is hilarious. So the almost certain, now, you know, it's not completely certain. It's almost, you know, and as an addict, I'm like, oh, so there's a loophole. Ah, okay, this is good. You know, I want my, like, one foot in the disease, one foot out. I don't really want to be in the disease, but I kind of want to get what I want and also get the consequences or the, you know, benefits of the program. So I love that, the almost, you know, I'm like, oh, good, this feels good. Yeah, my addict likes that. And then I just have to share, like, this insanity, right? Like, I can handle it like other people. So last night, I went to get my coffee, and we agreed, my sponsor and I, that after 7 o'clock, it can only be decaf. So they hand me a coffee, and I'm about to start drinking it, of course, because it's got to be in my mouth. And they say, yeah, it's half calf, half decaf. So I look at the clock, and it's 11 minutes after 7. And so I'm like, I think I can take a sip. I mean, I already bought it, you know. So I take a sip, knowing full well that it's 11 minutes after 7 and it has caffeine in it. But what my mind does, and this is the trick, is my mind says to me, you know what, it's kind of close to 7. And you know what, it's only half caffeine, you know. So I'm going to make believe, and I'm going to bend reality. And it's insane, you know, but that's the insanity, like looking at the coffee, knowing full well it's got caffeine in it, knowing full well it's after 7 o'clock, right? And then just making up a story. Well, you know, it's not that bad.
and it probably only has a teeny bit of caffeine in it. I mean, I will go to any length to make stuff up. So then this morning, I'm texting my sponsor and letting her know this. And the last thing I wanted to do is say, you know, you've got to start over because I'm on day 50, don't you know? And you know, it's so, it doesn't even matter what day I am on. You know, what matters is that I get on my knees and then I'm honest, completely and utterly honest. But it's like, how can I tell her the story in a way that bends reality and makes it like not a big deal? And aren't I great for knowing it was only 11 minutes after 7? Like, it's just the whole thing is what they're talking about here. Like, this time it won't burn. You know, this time I can handle it. These thoughts occur. These are my thoughts. You guys, I mean, if I could, I'd look at the clock and say it's 7 o'clock. Like, I need to bend reality so that I get what I want. So that I still can say, you know, and the other piece is like, well, it's just a slip, you know, and oh, aren't we being just so uptight about the whole thing? You know, it's just, it's so brilliant that I can wake up in the morning in a really good mood and say, huh, I didn't have, and thank you. And I'll end there. Thanks so much for letting me share and thanks for being our moderator.
Thank you, Wendy M. in Colorado. Okay, Stephen G., you're up, followed by Carly B. Good morning, Stephen.
Hi, good morning. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Thanks for your service. You know, whenever I read this book, I'm amazed by what a writer and a teacher Bill Wilson was. You know, in the doctor's opinion, he lays out the scientific basis of the disease. And then in Bill's story, he gives us the perspective of one person's experience with this disease so we can relate. And now he's going to tell us about the solution. But before he does that, he's again just laying a bit of a foundation of what the disease is again. He keeps making the same points over and over and over again. When I came into OA, you know, I learned about this mental obsession. I learned a bit about this allergy of the body, but I still had 3 major relapses in the beginning of my time in OA, which helped me to understand that I was mentally ill and I was doomed and there's nothing I could do about it. And it that was the first part of recovery, which was this complete deflation, which I think Bill Wilson is trying to get us to grasp here. The other thing I got from this paragraph is this idea of the consequences that follow taking even a glass of beer. And I think he's referencing, you know, the idea of hard liquor versus stuff that's not too bad, whiskey versus beer. And for me, it was only when I came into vision that I truly grasped that concept of entire abstinence, that I had to give up everything that was triggering the allergy of the body. And there were things that were doing it on a subtle basis that I wasn't aware of. The allergy of the body would be more gradual, but it would lead me back to the things that were really bad. So I needed entire abstinence from my ingredients and behaviors. And I was finally willing to do that after just being so devastated by this illness. So I had to give up the whiskey and the beer. And then when I was able to do that, and all of a sudden my recovery got this feeling of permanence, this feeling of recovered, so long as I worked the steps to take care of the mental obsession. Thanks very much.
And thank you, Stephen G. from Toronto, Canada. Carly B., you are up, followed by Jody E. Good morning, Carly.
Hi, I'm Carly B. from Pennsylvania. I'm new to this program, and I don't have the book, so I couldn't really follow along with it. I do have a book, however, called Courage to Change, One Day at a Time to Al-Anon. I guess I could use that, but I'm a compulsive overeater at times because I use food to overeat, to cope with, painful emotions and there's things that I'm dealing with I can't even open up about because I'm afraid of being judged by others, and I don't know, I can't even open up about it with my family, like, because I don't even want to be judged by people. And it's stuff that's from the past that I covered up with food, eating disorders, like medication, like mind-altering medication. But, like, I can't turn to those things anymore
because they're just hurting me more than helping me. And now I'm face to face with, like, really painful stuff, and it's causing me so much anxiety. Like, I can't sleep, and I just want help, and it's so hard because of this COVID thing. There's no, like, face-to-face contact with people, like, and I feel so alone. And, like, I don't know how to get a sponsor. Like, that's one thing I want to get is, like, a sponsor person, because I hear, like, people have that even with this program. So I don't know how I do that because I'm so, like, deprived of, like, human contact with other people. And I don't feel like anyone would understand, like I know why I turn to food. Like, the reason is so clear in my head. But I just can't get myself to open up about it. Like, I can't even open up to myself, really. Like, I'm afraid of everything. Like, it's horrible. So that's all. And if anyone could help me find a sponsor, that would be helpful. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Carly B. from Pennsylvania. And Carly, if you stay on at the end of the meeting after the recording, you can leave your phone number, and also you'll get some sponsor names at the end of the meeting too. So keep coming back.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carly. Yep. Okay. Jody E., you're up, followed by Sherry Jo C. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator, for your service. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic. The consequences of taking even a glass of ale do not come into the consciousness of an addict who is not recovered. I can certainly relate to that. When I was not recovered, when I wanted some food that I knew would trigger the allergy of the body, or even before I knew that, I wanted what I wanted it when I wanted it. Because I was not in fit spiritual condition, and I was powerless over that food, completely powerless. I had no choice. I am without defense, completely without defense against taking that first bite of foods that I know, even before I found a vision for you, I knew it wasn't wise to eat this or that. But I had no defense whatsoever. My defense must come from a higher power. And I access this higher power by working these 12 steps with the help of others who have recovered. I get a sponsor who takes my hand and guides me through these 12 steps, which are a program of recovery that slowly but surely will enable me to have a spiritual awakening and a psychic change. I go from being self-centered to being altruistic, caring more about what I can do for others than what I want for myself, what I think I need, what I think I want, which is not necessarily what I really need. And that's what I find out as a result of turning my will, everything I think I want, and my life, everything, over to the care of a power greater than myself. It's a fantastic ride. Please join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. And before I take Sherry Jo C., just a reminder that we are on page
34.
We're on page 24, the third paragraph, the almost certain consequences, and I'll be taking some more names after Sherry Jo C. So go ahead, please, Sherry.
Good morning. This is Sherry Jo C., recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. And thank you so much to everybody making the meeting possible this morning. this is such an important section. I think of this as step zero. You know, it's before we've even taken step one. And I think I was at step zero for a long time. For me, step zero was obviously being, you know, head first into the disease and not being able to stop it. But I practiced it for so long that toward the end, I started being able to observe myself in it. I could see I was at this jumping off point. I would be in the middle of a binge. I would say to myself, as my friends were dating and getting married and getting jobs and carrying on with their lives, and I was stuck in my disease, I would say to myself, Sherry, if you don't stop now, you're never going to stop. Like, there has to come a point at some point where you stop. But I couldn't stop. And I would have the thoughts. They would be hazy. I would think, oh, my God, you know, if I take this first bite, I just know what's going to happen. And there goes the rest of the day. And then there goes the night. And then I get up in the morning and I say, I'll start again. And then I don't. And, you know, I just knew. It was like Groundhog Day over and over again. But I couldn't make myself stop. And I was able to watch myself. And the thing that happened was when I thought about stopping, I just felt filled with such incredible emptiness. Like, it was an emptiness, but it was this terror, you know? And we're such extreme people. Like, I don't just feel afraid. I feel terror, you know? I don't feel upset. I feel devastated, you know? It's like everything in me is so extreme. And what I realized in those moments was... I mean, at least now as I look back, I can see I never really wanted what I had at that moment. You know, people say nowadays, oh, just be in the now. And I'm thinking, that's never what I wanted. Like, I never wanted to be in the now. I always want to be in someplace else, you know. When I was not compulsively eating, I wanted to compulsively eat, you know. And when I was in the middle of a binge, I wanted to stop. But when I was stopped, I wanted to binge. You know, it's like if I was single, I wanted to be dating somebody. If I was dating somebody, I wanted to be single. You know, it's like I was never happy with what was. And it wasn't until I finally got in this program and somebody just stopped me, you know, and they said, you know what, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to be doing it the rest of your life. And that my step one came one night when I'd been at a party and I'd been through a tough breakup with who I thought was going to be my dream man, live happily ever after, whatever. And I wanted to eat absolutely every single thing at this party. And instead, I left. And I went home, and I got down on my knees in front of my sliding glass door in my apartment. And that was my surrender. And I still get choked up when I think about it, because that was my surrender. And that was when I said, you know what? However scared I am, however empty this feels, I'm going to trust. And that was what changed for me. That was when I finally was able to, you know, take my step one and really believe that there was something better for me if I just stopped doing what I was doing. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherry Josie in California. And a reminder, we are on page 24, the third paragraph that begins with the almost certain consequences. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. And we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day, in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share who has not shared Monday or Tuesday?
Emily D.
Emily okay. D. Was that Mo?
Yes, Mo K. From
California. Okay.
Dennis C.
C as
in Charlie.
Okay.
Eden C.
I'll take a few more names. Okay, we'll stop with these four. I have Emily D, Mo K, Dennis C, Eden C, and Leah S. Okay, go ahead, please, Emily D.
Hello, Emily D as in dog, recovered compulsive overeater in Chicago.
So grateful to be on the line this morning. The shares have been awesome. You know, I am really reflecting on my mind being, gosh, you know, when I think about my spirituality before I came into the rooms, it lived on a bookshelf. It was every book I could buy from Amazon, from the local bookseller. You know, I was determined to find in my mind the solution. And I consider myself to be a relatively smart person. And I think many of us are, all of us are. But there was nothing for me in those books. It was just this compulsion to keep looking and keep seeking. And it was an isolating experience of spirituality. I mean, I read a book, I take notes, and I look up from the book, and I'm still on my own. My other favorite way to access spirituality and the solution was retreats. And I still to this day love retreats, but getting away from reality and escaping the reality that I have such powerlessness over so much in my life, including food, of course, was really compelling to me. And I'd come home and I'd have this high, and then a couple days later, I'd be right back into the sugar and the flour in the bags and boxes. And it was so defeating. But I'm reminded that, you know, a lot of what is human-based in this world, culturally based, is like, yeah, go on a retreat and buy a book. And I'm no better than anyone else about, like, being compelled by those ideas. But the consequences that crowd into my mind that tell me, Emily, you are about to set up the cycle. The phenomenon of craving is going to begin, that obsession that you absolutely are powerless over if you take that first bite. Because the first bite is the last thing for me. You know, it begins with indifference. Indifference about coming to meetings. Indifference about, yeah, what's one? Indifference about, like, yeah, it's an outreach call, but I'm busy. I'm going to send it to voicemail. That's where it starts for me. And the cycle is terrorizing. And I am really, for today, committed to not starting the cycle. But it takes this, you know, it takes letting go of these threadbare ideas. But they're still there, right? Those synapses in my brain that say, you know, Amazon Prime that book to me is still there. And I have to replace it with something. I have to begin to, like, weave something that's much stronger, so that when I have moments over the holidays or with my boyfriend or, you know, in my work and running a business where I am feeling like I'm going to burst, I don't get to that level of intensity. I've got a much stronger woven fabric, thanks to God and thanks to getting the spiritual solution. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for being here today, everybody.
And thank you, Emily D. in Illinois. Mo K. in California, go ahead, please.
Hi, Mo K. from California. The almost certain consequences do not crowd into the mind of the tourists, and they're hazy and readily supplanted with the old idea. The next time we'll handle ourselves like other people, and then there's the complete failure of the defense that keeps one from putting a hand on the hot stove. That's completely and utterly a description of me, like, you know, my wife laughs at how I go right back to these old cycles, and I think that this time it's not going to hurt me. I'm good, like, you know, for some reason, it's okay right now. I deserve it. I should be able to do it, and, like, I can't remember what happened the last time I went into that. Like, it actually is hazy, like, when I try to think back. It's like my memory is erased on, like, kind of like with that strange mental blank spot. Recently, my sponsor told me to stop eating cookies. And I, of course, in my head translated that into, well, let's just keep eating the cookies I have until I run out. I don't, you know, like, that was a translation, and it's just insane, right? Instead of, I'm not, like, able to even think properly because I've got this addict thinking. And so, you know, I love this paragraph because it just reminds me that the problem is in my mind, that I can't remember, I can't think my way out of this problem. I have to act my way out of it, and try, and my higher powers are the only solution. So, and, you know, most days I'm not connected with higher power, and so I want to be connected with higher power and be present. Thanks. Bye.
Sorry, problem with meeting there. Thank you so much, Mo K in California. And Dennis C, you're up next, followed by Eden C. Good morning, Dennis. Star one to unmute, Dennis.
I'm Dennis, and I can't keep track of whether I'm muted or unmuted. And
Okay, go ahead. We hear you.
I'm from Swartz Creek, Michigan, which is a suburb of Flint. The threadbare idea came to me that I had a coat my brother-in-law gave me, or actually my sister gave it to me before she died. And I don't smoke anymore, but it had cigarette burns in it. The end of the sleeves were worn like they get, and the zipper didn't work all that great. But I kept wearing it because it reminded me of my sister and my brother-in-law. It didn't really keep me warm on a cold day, but I kept wearing it. My wife finally said, you know, other people look at you and they think you're a bum wearing this thing. And it was just something that I'm weird and old clothes giving me a sense of comfort. But finally we gave it to Goodwill and I got a nice warm coat now. But it's that kind of thinking that going into the past and putting value other than the value that's on the present moment is the kind of thing that we do, and we don't want to let go of our old ideas. We don't want to go of our threadbare ideas because they worked for us in the past. And once they were warm and comfortable, but now they're not being very functional with that at pass.
Thank you, Dennis C. from Michigan. And Eden C., you're up next, followed by Leah S. Go ahead, Eden.
Hi, this is Eden C. from Oregon. I've been sitting in on this call for 6 months or so, about 6 months, and this is my first time sharing, so I figured it was important to speak up and take my seat and be a part of the fellowship. What I really appreciated the reading and just made me think about the things that I've done in the past. Someone talked about like the insanity, like doing the same thing and expecting different results. But, you know, some things that I still play with the insanity is insidious. And, a thought I've had, before, and a thought that will really easily sneak back into my life is for some reason, well, because I'm a compulsive overeater, if I'm preparing a meal, if I take a bite of something, it doesn't count. And that is such old behavior. The other kind of thought, which I does not, through the grace of God, does not come into my mind, is not one of the lies I tell myself, is if I'm watching TV, it doesn't count. And that was a belief I had for years. I'm 47 years old, and so that was a belief I had for years before coming to OA. That's insane. That's insane. Let's see. Yeah, anyway, that's it. I wanted to share. It's really good to hear everyone. Thanks.
And thank you, Eden C. from Oregon. Thanks for sharing this morning. Okay, Leah S., before I take you, I just want to remind everyone that we are on page 24, the third paragraph that begins with the almost certain consequences, and I'll be able to take a few names after Leah share. So go ahead, please, Leah.
Thank you so much. What a wonderful meeting. My name is Leah S., recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. And this entire chapter is trying to explain what kind of an overeater I can encounter. And I might even deny myself that this is the kind of compulsive overeater that I am. And so why are they saying this? They're really stressing it. And I think in this paragraph, they're stressing the blind spot, The blind spot means that even though I have not had an urge to take any of my binge foods since 2014, does not mean that today, and almost entering 2021, it's not going to come to me, because we all have blind spots and we're all human. What is it that really keeps me going? What is it that keeps me grounded and not even want it? I'll tell you what, it's these 12 steps and facing myself honestly and trusting my higher power, and of course the fellowship. The things that people say that go into your heart are probably the things that are just mirroring upon the other person's heart. And that is the truth. The truth is, I am a compulsive overeater. Somebody said to me at a party, come on, don't be so silly. I haven't seen you taking this, just a tiny piece. What's wrong with you? I said, are you kidding me? I don't want this tiny piece. I want the entire kitchen and everything else you have in that freezer. That's what I want, really, really, in the past. This program is all about the steps, things that are making me want to eat and not even think about what I want to eat. Oh, my goodness, this program saved my life, and I'm just sorry that I didn't come in here sooner. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Leah S. Okay, if you haven't shared on Monday or Tuesday, I can take a couple more names if you'd like to share on this third paragraph on page 24.
Audrey M. P. I'd like to share.
Okay, so I
Lisa B.
Was it Audrey M. P. and there was a gentleman?
Gary K. in California.
Gary K. in California.
Lisa B.
Okay. And I got you, Lisa. Was it B as in boy?
Yes.
Okay. So if you all take maybe two and a half minutes, we should get all three of you in. So go ahead, please, Audrey M.P.
Good morning. This is Audrey M.P. I'm from California, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you, Team Wednesday, and thank you for everybody who shared. I don't love this paragraph. It reminds me of my disease, and it reminds me of complacency. It's okay. I love what I heard about the tiny piece or just have one. If I were to read this paragraph today or this season, I would switch the word glass of beer for tamale, because it's Christmas time and tamales are love at my house. And, shall I handle myself like other people is the question. And I'm just begging God for neutrality around food and over the holiday and all my emotions and all of the COVID fatigue and all of that. And I know that complacency around food is going to keep me coming back. I can't say I'm here forever, but I'm going to keep coming back every day because I don't know what forever looks like. I want to welcome the newcomers. I'll be greeting you a little bit later in the meeting. I want to thank Elaine B. for her grace and Melanie C. for the opportunity to be of service, because I just want to get better and I'm going to keep coming back. And thanks for reading the book with me today, everybody. Have a great holiday. And I pass.
Thank you, Audrey M. P. from California. And Gary K., go ahead.
Hello?
Okay, we hear you. Go ahead, Gary.
Okay, great. Thanks. Gary K., compulsive overeater in California. Yeah, it's a great reading, and the shares are so great. And I also want to welcome the newcomer. Because essentially, even though I've been in all these years, I'm pretty much a newcomer. I've been, everything that paragraph says. I've been making excuses and somehow thinking the word insane. I go, that's a little bit harsh for what I'm going through when I know not to eat this cookie because it will lead to, the whole box like a lot of us are with our trigger foods. So, or, being at the party, because I've been there too. Oh, just have a little piece. And At that point, I'm like, because I've gone through it so many times at different functions, it's like I'm done explaining anything. It's just, I'm just saying no, no thank you. And it's funny, not so, well, it's funny, but it's great. God's work, I think. So I'm in another program, and I talked about my food issues, and he said, well, you need to go to more meetings. And that's where I've, you know, done the slipping. So, you know, now I've committed to 3 meetings a week, and I love this one. It's easy for me because I can do other things and listen in. But anyway, so just like, you know, okay, so my coffee, oh, I can have whipped cream, just a little whipped cream. I can have creamer in there. And so it's like, no, I can't. And so just like that, just starting my morning is a big deal. So I'm committed to getting rid of those things when I get back from my walk. So I do need to be here. And yeah, and I'm so glad I'm coming to more meetings because it's, and it's like, you know, on my own devices, I'm helpless and hopeless. And sometimes I get wrapped up in myself. And it's like, no, I should feel that way because without God or my higher power, I don't have a chance. So happy holidays to everyone. Keep at it, newcomer, and I will too. Thank you all.
And thank you, Gary K. in California. And Lisa B., go ahead, please, and you can take your full 3 minutes. Good morning, Lisa. Are you there, Lisa?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Lisa B., recovered compulsive overeater from Southern Mid-Michigan. At first I couldn't seem to get the idea, but once I started, I reread it again. The denial, the dishonesty of how I can control my food, because I can't. This time will be different, though it never is. Oh, well, it's only fill in the blank. Rationalizing, justifying is lying to myself. I like the part where it says the complete failure of this idea, but the way that I took it was I take it all the way to the extreme and I am a complete failure. And it's not true. Instead of the idea that the idea is a complete failure because I can't handle myself like other people. And it would affect my self-esteem in horrible ways. I would just beat myself up, and then I would be right back to the food again. Thank you so much for letting me share. That's all I have.
Oh, thank you, Lisa B. in Michigan. Would anyone else like to take? We have a couple minutes if anyone would like to share on this paragraph. Page 24, third paragraph. I can take another name.
This is Jill T.
Okay, Jill, you have about 2 minutes, so go ahead, please.
Well, terrific. Thank you very much. Just been through this page with my sponsor the other day and then even my sponsoree. And, boy, you know, my eyes are open. I need to hear this over and over because right now, the week of Christmas, my emotions and my memories are just shouting down my denial and my disease. You know, my disease is so loud because it makes so much sense, but I'm just grateful that I have a copy of this in my hand and I have this meeting and I'm going to keep clinging to the truth, even when my emotions say otherwise, that, you know, that the pain I'm feeling is worth eating over, but it's not. And I'm just grateful right now for the meeting. And I got on the meeting today, not very willingly, but I'm so glad that I've heard people say to do the steps and be willing to do whatever it takes. And, well, fighting my unwillingness is to do whatever it takes right now. So I'm grateful for the meeting, grateful for the shares and the text in the book. Thank you all for being here and have a wonderful day. With that, I'll pass.
And thank you so much, Jill T. Okay. Thank you, everyone who shared this morning. It's really amazing meeting and all your shares. I really appreciate everybody stepping up and sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And just a special thanks to Team Wednesday this morning, Terry H., Joanne L., Leah S., Penny L. C., Christina L., Audrey M. P., Robin P., and Elaine B. Thank you for your service today on Team Wednesday. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Christina, would you please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. Thanks, everyone, for your shares. Really great meeting. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.